even when you look at the flu, there's never a flu season. There is a vitamin D deficiency season. A lack of vitamin D is what causes the cytokine storm that has been taking people, that has taken people out in the past from the flu and has been taking people out from COVID as well.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for today's episode of The Capitalist Investor. You got Mark, D, and Luke.
Did you watch the new Cobra Kai episode?
Johnny Lawrence.
I never even finished season three. My son's already on season four. I gotta get back.
I heard it's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
You know I'm a big Johnny fan.
I haven't watched it yet. I heard it's good, but I also heard it's kind of like it's so bad that it's good.
Yes, yeah. I would have to agree with that.
So the craziest thing about that series is that Johnny was always made out to be the bad guy, like in the original, and now it's kind of like the opposite.
Or you want to root for him?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. Like that's why I like about the series.
Yeah. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go back and they reuse some of the old Miyagi jokes a little too much, you know, but it's,
yeah,
hey, it's
you really fun. Can't do that too much. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah. All right. So what do we got on the agenda for today? We're going to talk about people quitting their jobs because we just hit a record number.
And record numbers. Yep.
We're going to talk about some New Year's resolutions. Make it a little fun and light.
Maybe.
Or fat.
Depending on how you fat. Define light.
Yeah. All right. So let's start off with we just got the job openings number. We just found out 4.5 million people quit their jobs in November, which is a record. It's the highest number ever. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, why do you guys think people are quitting their jobs?
It's a combination of a lot of things. The main two, in my opinion, number one is in this high inflation environment, you know, companies are paying more for competition because there is this increased competition. You had a lot of people that did not work for a long time, and now they want to find quality workers because businesses are back in growth mode. So the only way to get good quality employees is to go out to a competitor and hire somebody from your competitor and pay them more.
Exactly.
Yep. So you got that going on. And then number two is the work from home. A lot of companies are staying work from home. And, you know, you either really get a pay increase or you get the benefit of working from home. But you really don't get both. Yeah. I don't think you see a ton of people making more money and also leaving jobs to work from home rather than work in the office. But a lot of people enjoy the work from home trend. So I think that's those two things are why a lot of people are quitting and moving jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think those are definitely the two big ones. But, you know, it's kind of like the discussions that we've had before. Just kind of the other way when we're talking about inflation, it's the same deal, right? There's just fewer people, fewer quality workers in the workforce who also want to work. And to Luke's point, there's even fewer of those people who will actually show up to an office. So
yes.
It is strange times right now. That is for sure.
I've been hearing about a lot of, I have a lot of business owner buddies and clients, obviously, who've been saying that they are constantly getting ghosted on job interviews. No one shows up for the job interview.
Can you imagine that?
That's absolutely insane.
My girlfriend works in HR and she has also confirmed that she's tried to like hire four or five people and they've ghosted her.
Wow. Like back in the day, you'd at least tell someone like, hey, thanks, but no thanks.
Exactly.
Not anymore, huh? No one's got any integrity.
Well, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Mark and I have known each other for a long time. We went to school, we went to school together and we graduated in 2002, right?
Yep.
So that is just right out of the tech bubble bursting. Jobs were hard to come by.
Very hard.
So we're from the school, man, you get a job. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, we work for a couple of years and then boom, 2007, 2008 hits. So guys, people in our age range, what is going on right now? It's hard to even fathom, honestly.
Yeah.
It
seriously.
Really is.
Seriously. I think a lot of these quits are just, you know, a grass is greener kind of mentality,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You've got companies poaching from their competitors, paying a 20, 30, maybe even higher percent premium to attract this talent. And what hasn't changed is the amount of talent those people have.
Mm-hmm.
That has not gone up 20 or 30%. Just the amount they're being compensated has gone up 20 to 30%. So they're not 20 to 30% more productive. They're not going to increase GDP by 20 to 30%. All this is really doing in the long run, and look, I'm all for people wanting to make more money. I think everyone should want to make more money. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think we're setting ourselves up for a potential disaster down the road where this leads to margin compression for small businesses and for large companies as well. And when margins get squeezed, earnings eventually go down and you see a big sell-off in the stock market. You see companies start to let go of people and you see the unemployment rate go back up.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm kind of worried about the longer term impact. I don't know when that would happen. It could be 6 months from today. It could be 6 years from today. We'll see what happens. But I do know that's kind of how the cycle works.
Yeah. Yep. No, absolutely. The one thing that interests me is I think this is the first time in history, or I don't want to say necessarily the first time in history, but this is the most power some, you know, employees have now compared to, you know, in the past when, you know, kind of businesses had the power. If they didn't like an employee, they could just fire them. Now it's like businesses are even questioning firing employees because they're scared that, you know, they can't replace them because they got to pay too much. Things like that, right? So I'm just saying, like, there's all kinds of things that go through the heads of small business owners and large corporations that they've never had to think about before.
Yeah.
I don't think this has never happened.
Yeah. Look, I mean, as a capitalist, I believe that the person who takes the risk should reap both the upside and the downside of taking that risk.
Absolutely.
Right? That's why I believe there's nothing wrong with being successful.
Right.
Greed is good, as Gordon Gekko said, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But there seems to be this narrative floating around where it's like, well, if you're a business owner or you're successful or this or that, you're evil.
Yeah.
And more power to the people. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be more power to the people by any means, but let's not forget who's taking the risk. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about Elon Musk a few weeks ago, right?
Who even knows nowadays?
I mean, that dude, like, he was on the verge of bankruptcy. Tesla almost went bankrupt, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He wasn't sleeping at night, but no one cares about that now. Now that he's finally made it and he's the richest guy in the world, nobody knows the headache and the lost sleep and all that stuff that he went through to get to where he is today.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't sleep.
He probably doesn't sleep.
I think he works 100 hours a week.
Yeah. I mean, he's a freaking genius.
But I think that's the whole thing is you should get rewarded for risk. Just like when you take risk in the stock market, you buy a penny stock compared to something like Apple. Like, you should either make double your money on the penny stock or probably lose your money, right? Compared to Apple, it's going to take a couple years at least probably to double your money, right? So it's the same concept. But, you know, the employees nowadays, it's interesting because employees aren't taking on much risk.
Yeah.
And they're getting kind of rewarded for it, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole point you were making.
Yeah.
And really, you know, I think there have been very few things that I think have been positive that have really come out in the last 2 years. But I think in part of this is that some people who hate their current job, you know, have finally been given the, I don't know if it's empowered to look for a new job, but to improve their life. And I, you know, the name of the show is The Capitalist Investor, right? In this country, at least right now, you don't have to settle for the bottom, right?
Yeah.
So I think if there's anything that has come out of this is that some people, and again, it's not all, and there's a lot of bad things in here too, but some people have used this as an opportunity to improve themselves, improve their standing, and improve their life. And I think that aspect of it is actually pretty good.
I think it's also important to understand that this probably wouldn't have happened if we didn't shut down the country and provide all the stimulus and all that stuff, right? So the only thing that really upsets me is this is really artificial.
It is.
It's not free market. It's not free market
because
capitalism.
It kind of stems from the UBI, the Universal Basic Income, where we gave, I don't even know how much we gave a family of four or five in 2020 or 2021.
And we're still giving child tax credits.
It seems like we probably gave them 20 grand, you know, but that artificially raises the wage floor. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've seen happen. It's a sticky situation, right? And obviously it's going to be tough to navigate through it, but, you know, we're at a point where You guys are right. I mean, the employees have more power now than they ever have.
The biggest problem I see is the companies who are able to pay larger amounts of money are going to come out on top. That's the biggest problem, right? So the largest corporations are going to find the best employees because they're able to pay them compared to the small business.
So what? Yes, exactly. So, I mean, medium and small companies employ 50% of the workforce. They don't have endless pockets. So they're going to hurt. And you're going to watch the Amazons, the Microsofts, the Apples of the world get bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And so what, everyone's going to work for one of 10 companies at some point? Yeah. Like it's crazy to think that, you know, mm-hmm. It's absolutely, but that is what eventually could happen. I think, Dee, you mentioned one of the good things to come out of this. I'll give you another good thing to come out of this. You know, as everyone was, you know, kind of pissing and moaning about student loan debt, I think people started to appreciate the fact that you can learn a trade. Mm-hmm. You can become a plumber and make $100,000 a year. You can be a contractor who renovates homes and make $100,000 a year. Like these, you can do those things. And mm-hmm. You don't have to amass $250,000 plus in student loan debt to do that.
Yep.
I've been saying this for years. I mean, is a four-year college education, do you really need all 4 years to do, like, for example, what we do right now? I think we probably could have learned what we do right now, at least the basics of it. Obviously, a lot of what we've learned has been hands-on experience.
Yep.
But don't you think, like, from the first day we all started here, we could have learned that much in 12 to 18 months of college?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so too.
The basic economics 101, you know, all that stuff. Like, absolutely. Why couldn't you?
Give me economics 101, finance 101.
There's a lot of fluff too. Like when you go to college and stuff, there's especially a lot.
We went to a liberal arts school.
We all did. Yeah.
You
all
did too? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I went to you guys beat
our
us.
History, man.
Dude, I took a Buddhism.
You guys beat us in every sport. But yeah, no, it's all liberal arts. So like, you know, I took art class. I took like religion, like all that stuff. Like
art history? I cheated my way through that one.
That being said, like I'm not saying it's not necessarily bad to open up your mind. I'm not saying that. But the whole point of going to college is to invest in yourself for the future.
Right.
And have a return on principal.
Yeah. Right?
So extending it out, obviously you're paying more of an investment when you could have learned and worked your ass off maybe for 12 months to 18 months, crammed it all in and been good to go.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, 100%.
I mean, you could do the CFA curriculum if you really went, you know, as hard as you possibly could. You could get it done in 18 to 24 months.
I think so.
Right?
I think if you knew absolutely nothing about finance, stocks, economies, nothing at all, 18 months, I think you could, and again, this is just the basic of the technical knowledge that you need. There's a lot more that goes into it, but absolutely.
Now, real quick, just a quick disclaimer. I know one guy who did it in the shortest time possible, 18 months. Good old Chu Wu. Did you ever meet Chu?
I did, yeah.
He's got four letters to his name, Chu and Wu. But he did it in 18 months, but he wasn't working. He mm-hmm. wasn't married, had no kids. I mean, you throw all those things into the mix and good luck getting it done in 18 months,
right?
If you're holding a job, like if you can get it done in 36 months, that's impressive.
Exactly.
You know, obviously when we were 18 to 21 years old, we had all the time in the world,
right?
We weren't married. We had no kids. Mm-hmm. And I barely had a job waiting tables.
Where'd you wait tables at?
I started at, let's just say Outback, because I had a small little stint before that. Outback Steakhouse. Yeah. I hate their food. It's disgusting. I mean, they put so much seasoning on that. It's just gross. And then I went to Shula Steakhouse right here across the street.
Nice.
It's barely open anymore.
Right.
No one goes there.
Nope.
Actually, pretty decent food.
It is. Off
topic, talking about jobs and stuff and talking about working at a young age, I think it's very important for kids, teenagers, college kids to hold jobs. I didn't hold a job in college, but I held a small job in high school.
Yeah.
It teaches work ethic.
And for me, I would love for my three kids I'd love to force them into the restaurant industry, because that to me was like entrepreneurship 101. Like if you do a good job, you get paid more.
Yeah.
If you suck, you don't make any money. Like that was a great learning experience. That instilled a lot of like the entrepreneurship and drive to be an entrepreneur that I have in myself today.
Right.
Like it was I think everyone should experience that because it really teaches you, like, wow, if I actually walk faster, I can get more done.
Right.
As opposed to, like, you know, kind of the lazy man's attitude, which is really kind of spreading like wildfire in this, you know, Joe Biden economy.
I was stocking shelves and cutting grass for the local toy store. That's what I used to run in, in high school.
Nice.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was answering phones for customer service at Universal Electronics. So if you ever need your remote control programs, I'm an expert.
You've got a good voice
field.
For that. I like
it. Oh, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I heard some whoppers on that job, too.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I heard, like, you know, husband and wife, like, arguing on different phone lines.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's great. Some good stories.
It's like Ryan's Roses, almost. You guys ever hear that on the radio?
No.
Where Ryan Seacrest, he'll bust like some guy or gal who's cheating on their significant other, offer them free roses, then they send it to like their girlfriend or boyfriend instead.
Oh, gosh.
That turns into a disaster.
Sounds like a great idea.
That's a disaster. All right, so let's move past the workers quitting. I really think it's the whole grass is greener thing, poaching. I think it's okay now. I think in the long run, it hurts small businesses, and I think it'll lead to some margin compression as well. Who knows when that'll happen?
And the vaccine mandates are definitely adding into that number for last month, too.
Oh, without a doubt. Then on top of that, I just heard that, what's the big hospital? I mean, obviously the Cleveland Clinic.
Mayo Clinic.
Mayo Clinic's terminating a bunch of people.
Yep.
How do you do that? Isn't there like a nursing shortage?
So 18% of healthcare workers have quit the field since the start of the pandemic, basically, March 2020. So one in five are gone.
Wow.
And yeah, you know, 30% of everyone's hospital staff is gone now because of these mandates.
So the thing is, they have to be going to other jobs, though. They can't just be like quitting and not going to another job because savings have been, for the most part, depleted. For the most part, like the average person, right?
You know, speaking of the medical field, and then we'll jump to the next topic, but I was telling someone that I had to take my oldest daughter to the emergency room right before we all found out we had COVID, right? She tested negative for COVID. She was positive for the flu. So that's why I figured we all had the flu. Turns out we all ended up having COVID instead.
Don't blame me. But I didn't have it. I tested negative.
Yeah, right. So someone asked.
The CDC just said the tests are worthless.
They are. They probably are.
They change their story every single day.
We all took the same test, though, and I was negative. That's all I'm saying.
That's funny. So, all right. So someone asked me, like, why'd you take her to the emergency room? And I'm like, well, you have to understand Cleveland. We no longer have urgent cares. Mm-hmm. On a Sunday night, like, you're not going to get into your pediatrician, and there's no longer urgent cares. So you can't go there if you want to get blood work done. Right. So it's like either the emergency room or nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. And that, I think a lot of that has to do with the shortage of nurses. Right. And medical professionals in general. Like, there's no urgent cares anymore. Like, what if I don't need to go to the emergency room, but my doctor's not open and I've been sick for a long time. I kind of need blood work or something. Like, where are you going to go?
Exactly.
So, all right, let's move on. So let's talk New Year's resolutions. All right. Because that's what everyone does in January. You know, you guys will always see the gym. It's full for the first 2 weeks of January. And then you never see those people again.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny. You know it's going to happen every year, too. So let me just run through the 10 and then let's kind of break them down. So the first one, top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2022. Luke, where'd you get this from?
That's a good question. I found
it.
These are all Luke's. I found it on like the second link when I typed in top 10. Top New Year's resolutions is like the second one down.
Maybe they did a survey. I'm assuming they did a survey.
Let's go off of that.
All right. So number one is lose weight. All right. Number two, eat healthier or change diet. Number three, get fitter and take more exercise. Take more. Okay. Number four, spend more time with family and friends. Number five, be more aware and take care of mental health. That's a newer thing that's top of mind for a lot of people. Number six, sort out finances and cut back spending. Number seven, travel more. Eight, take up a new hobby, sport, or other interest. Nine, be more environmentally friendly. And 10, look for a new job. I'm definitely looking for a new job. I quit. Go get paid more elsewhere. But I have no additional skill. All right. Where do you guys want to start?
You probably get paid more at McDonald's these days. The dollar amount just keeps going up and up every time I pass by.
All right, well, where do you guys want to start here?
I kind of want to say something, but I don't know if I should.
Get it done, buddy.
So the biggest thing is when we're talking about the past year and a half, obviously the biggest thing has been COVID, right? And one of the biggest risks, let me ask you, what's the biggest risk that we've seen besides like your traditional, like really bad things, cancer, besides all that stuff? What's the biggest risk to COVID that we've analyzed?
Like the biggest risk that comes from having the disease or what?
So my point I'm trying to get at is obesity, like being too big.
Oh yeah, that's the biggest
risk factor. Biggest risk factor for COVID. Well, so New Year's resolutions, I think, are more important this year, like for weight loss and getting health. It's not necessarily even about weight loss. Like it's about eating more healthy. You know, me and Mark talk all the time, just for, so, you know, the listeners out there, me and Mark talk all the time about me eating healthier. Yeah. I like my chicken wings, like some beer every once in a while, but I need to eat healthier. Like that's my New Year's resolution. Like if anything has taught us the past year and a half, get in shape, eat better food. It's not only to protect you against COVID, but to be better, you know, off in life in general.
Yeah. So I watched a video last March or April, and it was a, you know, epidemiologist who's not employed by the, you know, NIH, National Institute of Health, like Fauci is, or the WHO, which is controlled by China, right? Like just an epidemiologist, just a normal doctor, right? He was the first one to introduce me to ivermectin, mm-hmm. right? And he kind of went through and explained, even when you look at the flu, there's never a flu season. There is a vitamin D deficiency season. A lack of vitamin D is what causes the cytokine storm that has taken people out in the past from the flu and has been taking people out from COVID as well. Yep. Now, I hope I'm not screwing this up because I'm no doctor. I'm trying to remember something from 9 months ago, right? Yeah. And if you are obese, vitamin D is fat soluble or it isn't fat. There's the amount of fat you have on your body affects your vitamin D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, like that puts you at a disadvantage. It puts you in a higher risk category whereby you're not going to be, if your COVID symptoms get severe enough, you're not going to be able to fight it off because you don't have the vitamin D readily available to fight it off. Was that good?
No,
that was pretty good.
I think Joe Rogan needs to have me on his podcast.
It was like I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast right there. It was perfect.
You might get canceled. He just got canceled, right?
I don't know if he got completely canceled.
We might be canceled by the time this hits the air.
Yeah,
that is true.
They took that episode down from YouTube, mm-hmm. right?
Well, they can't take our episode down.
Why not?
Like, I don't know. We're capitalist investor, dude. Like,
just witnessing what's been going on, this, especially in the last 6 months. I went to get COVID testing the middle of December, and I shit you not, there was a guy, so everyone was in their cars waiting. There was a guy who opened up his door and started smoking cigarettes while he was in line, essentially, for
Love
getting
it.
A COVID test.
Love it. That's amazing.
Yeah. What has been missed, especially by the media, are the things that you can do just to be healthy that will probably get you through COVID with no additional means necessary.
Yeah.
The problem I have with New Year's resolutions is, yeah, it's only for a couple months. Most people like stick with it January, February, maybe March. Really, when it comes down to all these different things, losing weight, eating healthier, spend more time with family and friends, whatever it be, travel more. Like it's all a lifestyle change. Like you've got to make sure you implement it to your daily life, and you can't think of it as a diet. You can't think of it as like just losing weight. You've got to just
got to make the lifestyle change.
Yeah, got to live it
without mm-hmm. a doubt. What the heck did I want? There was something else. Keep talking. I got to think. Shh. Derek said something and I wanted to comment
well,
on it.
It's just funny. Number 10s look for a new job. And we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Travel more is number 7. Good luck with that. With all the airlines canceling all their flights.
Yep. I'm going to walk places. I'm going to combine that with losing weight.
Yeah.
Travel more, walk places, and lose weight while doing it.
I like it.
No, but actually I do want to travel more. That's actually one of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, I travel a good bit already, but like just on the weekends, small weekend trips, like going down to Columbus, going down to Cincinnati, like just on the weekends.
Short trips are great. Yeah. The long trips, you kind of get settled in and, you know.
Maybe stop going to Vegas every 3 months, four months. I need to stop doing that. It gets too expensive.
Yeah. COVID's obviously a very real disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the policy response is one hell of a hoax. You know, if you think about it, like, hey, guys, wear a mask and we'll all go back to normal. No, actually, get the vaccine and we'll all go back to normal. Now you got to get the vaccine and you have to wear a mask together. right?
And a never-ending series of booster shots.
Right. Which, by the way, Happy New Year to all of our listeners, except for those of you who wear a mask in the car while you're driving by yourself.
I saw it today.
Yeah,
I did.
I don't understand.
He stared at me too. He was like, I was staring at him. He was staring back. I wouldn't stop. I was like, who's going to blink first?
Why? I'll be real honest with you.
Are they going to get themselves sick? I don't understand it.
As much judgment as I can get in my face. I was, you know, flipping through the timeline today. I saw a clip. Someone was on vacation. I don't know where it was, but it was somewhere tropical. They were playing with stingrays, you know, in the ocean. And the staff was wearing the medical masks in the ocean.
That's amazing.
Obviously, outside.
I don't even know what's happening anymore. This is just absolutely, it's insanity. We are moving on to year three of COVID
4 weeks
mandates
to spread.
And mm-hmm. lockdowns. And like, this is absolutely insane.
It was supposed to be 4 weeks. Like I said, 4 weeks to slow the spread. That was supposed to be lockdown and then that's it. And then the lockdowns lasted 9 months. And here we still are. New York's still shut down. Basically, California's still like vaccine passports, mask mandates. Like there's
school in Chicago.
There is no end.
That's because the teachers are just straight up lazy. That's the teachers' call in Chicago.
Yeah, they just didn't want to come back to work.
It's the union. They mm-hmm. do not want to work. I mean, you look at all these liberal run cities, and it's not good, dude. Yeah. Defund the police. Look at what's happened to crime in those cities.
I think everyone's New Year's resolution should be to inform themselves through all kinds of different outlets. Don't listen to one side. It's just not good. Like, you gotta take information, digest it yourself, and think for yourself.
All right, let me give you something here. So on my way back from Vail, I very rarely do self-help books. But this was like a 2.5 hour long audio book. Mm-hmm. And I was looking through as I was sitting on the plane. I'm like, I'm definitely going to get delayed. I might as well download an audio book and start listening. So this was like the number 9 download. It's called The 4 Agreements. You guys ever heard of it?
I have not.
No.
All right, well, I'm going to give you all 4 agreements here. Okay. So it basically says we're not born with any programming, and then we get all this programming from schools and religion and our parents and all that stuff. And here's what they recommend you do. There's 4 agreements you need to have with yourself, okay? So number 1, be impeccable with your word, okay? So, you know, if something says something that aligns with your beliefs, it gets reinforced. If they say something that doesn't align with your beliefs, that could get reinforced as well. So it's all about just kind of being compassionate with yourself and talking yourself up. If you do that enough, you tell yourself you're great enough, you're going to be great, right? Mm-hmm. So be compassionate with yourself is essentially what they're saying. Number 2, don't take anything personally. Someone says you're dumb, that's a them problem, not a you problem. This is great stuff, right?
Mark, you're dumb. What the hell?
I can't say that. That's not a me problem. That sounds like a you problem, Luke.
I'm going to have to go find another job. I'm going to get fired or something.
Sounds like a you problem. Number 3, don't make assumptions. Ask questions to arrive at clarity. And we do that when we're talking to prospective clients and mm-hmm. clients, right? Yep. I mean, it's such a good rule to live by. Don't make assumptions. That leads to problems.
It's an ass out of you and me. That's what assume is.
There you go. And then number 4, always do your best. You're not going to master 1, 2, and 3 all the time. Just always do your best. So that to me was like, man, it's kind of a good way to start the year. Just mm-hmm. kind of rethinking like how you approach every single day in your life. Just think about it a little differently.
It's kind of like just doing positive thinking.
Yeah.
Like if you're just a positive thinker and like you said, just try your hardest. Don't worry about, don't have anxiety about what you could have done. Like that kind of thing. Right. Like don't overthink things. Cause I do it all the time. I overthink everything.
Yep.
I'm an analyzer. Like I'm not very organized myself, but I'm very detail oriented as in like, I'm very analyzing everything that happens.
Yeah.
But I go back and I rethink it and replay it 20,000 times. What I've learned is, you know, I need to just sometimes relax.
Relax.
If I just relax, I'll be better off.
Right. Relax. So. Don't beat yourself up when you screw up because we all screw up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So good stuff.
Absolutely.
Any other final comments on New Year's resolutions?
Just stick to them. Like just if you do have a New Year's resolution out there, whoever's listening, like just make sure like if you have a New Year's resolution, most likely you actually do want to implement it. Just stick with it.
Then set one that's reasonable.
Right.
Don't if you haven't gone to the gym in the last 5 years. Don't think you're going to go 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not just say, I'm going to get there one day a week?
Right.
And then when you've mastered that, I'm going to bump it up to 2.
Right.
If you set reasonable goals, they should be very easy to hit. This isn't about setting lofty goals that you have relatively zero chance of hitting,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, don't go from eating whatever you want to trying to get to like a 1,200 calorie diet. You're going to fail immediately.
Not going to work.
You got to ease into it.
Very difficult.
Yep.
All right, that wraps up today's show. As always, if you have questions or ideas or topics that you want us to cover on a future show, email us at info@swpconnect.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Write us a 5-star review. Send us over your comments when you write that, and we'll send you some swag. As always, thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.